Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and I just thank you for this story that you're writing in my life, Lord. And I just pray tonight, Lord, as Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 2, that my message would not be presented with wise and persuasive words, Lord, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power, so that the people here, that their faith may rest in you and not on anything but you, Lord. I just pray that your Spirit would speak through me tonight, and that something that is spoken might resonate with the hearts of someone here. And I just thank you for this opportunity, and I ask this in your name. Amen. So I'm Clarissa, and this is my story. Memories of my life before placing my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior are very limited. As far back as I can remember, God's Word was an important part of my life and upbringing. We were at church every time the doors were open, and my parents even led family Bible studies in our home. At age 7, a teacher in my church shared the story of God's love, and it made me realize that while I was born a sinner, God loved me so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to live on this earth, to die on a cross in my place, and to be resurrected within 3 days so that I could have a personal relationship with God. And all that I had to do was say yes to God's forgiveness and ask him to take control of my life. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It was so simple and compelling that even as a child at age 7, I said yes. In the many years since that life-changing event, my life has taken many turns. When I was 9 years old, my parents felt called into the mission field to a country in West Africa called Burkina Faso. And when I was 7, we returned to the U.S. where I continued a more normal childhood. I always did well in school, but relationships were somewhat of a struggle for me. And by the time I had graduated from high school, I had moved 13 times. It was difficult enough to make friends in new places, but then when I had to leave and start over again, it was always heartbreaking. As a result, I began to build walls around my heart and eventually stopped investing as much in new relationships. What I would learn many, many years later is that this was the beginning of a life of isolation and self-sufficiency. Aside from moving a lot, I don't remember experiencing too many difficulties growing up. My family was my rock, the one thing that didn't change when everything else did. And so you can imagine how I felt at age 23 when my parents announced they were getting a divorce. In some ways, I felt betrayed. Being a Christian family, our parents taught us growing up that divorce was wrong, so I was confused. I even went through a period of time where I questioned God, and I didn't understand how he allowed this to happen. At the age of 25, I got married to a guy that I had met in college. We dated for almost 4 years and had a really great friendship. It took me a while to come to a place where I even wanted to talk about marriage, again, likely due to the walls around my heart, and especially more at this time, since my primary example of marriage and my parents had been shattered. In any case, once we decided to take the plunge, I felt that I was finally living my dream. And as most little girls, I had dreams of growing up, getting married, and having children. I always imagined that divorce would be hard, especially given that I was a child of divorce, but I never knew just how painful and emotionally devastating it would be until I found myself in the midst of one after 10 years of marriage. Lack of communication and unresolved conflict compounded over time, which led to a lot of resentment for both of us. And even though my husband and I were believers and involved in church, Christ was not the center of our relationship. We didn't pray together or study God's Word together. Our walks with the Lord were completely separate. We had no community of believers to help us through the challenges in our marriage, and we both chose to keep our struggles to ourselves, living in isolation, a continued theme for me. So essentially, we gave up. If there could have been an ideal divorce situation, ours was it. We really didn't fight about anything related to the divorce. There were no attorneys involved other than drafting up the agreement with the terms we had agreed to on our own, and there were no children involved. And while divorce was not really what I wanted in my heart, I didn't fight him on it. I think this was partly due to my tendency to avoid conflict, but I was also exhausted from all the struggles in our marriage. So why was this so hard? Why was I feeling so much loss and pain? My dreams were shattering before my eyes. Basically, everything I had known as an adult was being turned upside down. Our church was his dad's church, and our friends went to that church, and no one knew how to deal with this or what to say, so they didn't. I found myself in a place where the only thing that I had left was my family, who unfortunately were spread all over the country, and my job that I'd wanted to leave for several years. So I was 35 years old and having to start over, and I was terrified. No 25-year-old girl ever dreams of this as she's walking down the aisle. And unfortunately, it took this experience for me to really understand marriage and God's design for it. It's not an earthly covenant, but a heavenly one. God's word says in Genesis 2:24, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. It is for this reason that divorce is so painful, no matter how easy the divorce process. It represents a tearing of one flesh. You actually lose a part of yourself forever. And as we talk about here in divorce care, the experience is like a death. And as a result, grieving is a part of that healing process. During the time of my separation, I felt rejected, unlovable, hurt, confused, and isolated from God. I was lonely and depressed. No one in our church knew, or at least acted like it. And so when a guy I had met began to take an interest in me, I took comfort in that. And before long, I found myself in a relationship with him. While there were moments that it seemed to help take my mind off of my divorce, all the pain was just underneath the surface. Not only was I not in a position to be in another relationship, as I was still married, I was also emotionally not capable. And I wasn't making good decisions at all. One sin led to another, led to another. My life was spiraling out of control very quickly. We fought all the time and often had fights because he couldn't understand why I couldn't just get over my marriage. And there were many unhealthy things in this relationship that resulted in much more heartache than I ever could have imagined. This was bad enough on its own, but I was layering it on top of the death of my marriage that I had not really dealt with. I didn't realize it at the time, but this relationship just extended my healing process and actually made the pain worse. In addition to all the other emotions I was feeling, I could now add guilt and shame to the list. My divorce was final in the fall of 2008, and as much as I tried to move on, to regain some sense of normalcy in my life, even trying to make this new relationship work, I was so broken. When I was around this other guy, I pretended to be okay so that we wouldn't fight, but I wasn't. I cried a lot in private. I even began to pray that God would take my life. And that's when I knew I needed help. And as a believer, I knew God was the only way. I found my way to Watermark, sitting in the dark, sneaking in the back door and sitting in the back. But it was really good to be in God's presence again. And shortly after, I began reading the Bible again and really crying out to the Lord. He was working in me. After several months of quietly attending church, the Lord led me to divorce care in the spring of 2009 through an announcement in the Watermark News. I really thought by then I was in a better place. But when I sat down in our first small group meeting and it was my turn to introduce myself, I broke into tears just saying my name. I still had a lot of emotions stuffed down inside, and as the 13 weeks progressed, God continued to convict me and change my heart. Multiple times I would hear the Lord say in various ways through his word, other people, and even in divorce care, "It's not too late. My desire is for reconciliation. All things are possible with God." So I knew I had to pursue reconciliation, and I had to change the relationship I was in at that time to do that. In early April 2009, I broke off my relationship with the other guy and looked for opportunities to talk to my ex-husband. I finally decided to write him a letter asking for forgiveness for everything I had done wrong in our marriage, and then sharing with him what God had placed on my heart regarding reconciliation. And when I gave him that letter, there was a huge weight lifted off of my shoulders. I can't describe the peace that I felt in that moment. It was probably the most peace I had known since my divorce. I knew without a doubt that I was being obedient to the Lord. However, many months went by and I didn't hear anything back from him. In fact, he avoided any communication with me. And there were times I was very discouraged and felt alone. But I also knew that the Lord wanted me to just wait. Although my relationship with God was growing stronger, I still found myself being pulled back into a relationship with the other guy, not in the same capacity as it was more of a friendship at this point, but I was still having a hard time of completely letting go. The fighting only increased over time because I was trying to go backwards in a relationship and just be friends, and that's never easy once your relationship has surpassed that point. It wasn't until almost a year after that time that I finally gained the strength in Christ to begin to completely sever the relationship. During all of this, God has done some amazing things in my life. As I became more and more obedient to Him and began walking with Him daily, true healing came. And while the door of reconciliation with my ex-husband was closed when he remarried in February 2010, God has continued to restore me and show me that He isn't finished with me yet. He is using all of my mistakes and failures to teach me how to be more like Him. And by extending me grace and comfort, God has given me the special opportunity to encourage others in the same way, as His Word teaches in 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4, which Wes talked about. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Who would have thought that through all of this pain, the Lord would be preparing me to minister to others faced with divorce? One last thing that I want to share with you is that it took me a really long time to confess this broken relationship during my divorce to my family, friends, and even those I served with at Watermark. While I had confessed it to God and asked for forgiveness and even changed the nature of the relationship, Satan still attacked me with guilt and shame. I had not experienced the freedom and healing in James 5:16, which says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." I feared what people would think of me and that I wouldn't be accepted if they found out. And yet, the Lord placed a wonderful community of believers around me that loved me anyway. It was truly God's grace at work through His people. And for the first time in my life, others really knew me. They knew who I was. And through God's work in my life, I began breaking free from a life of isolation. The love and grace of God has never been more evident to me than during these last few years. Regardless of my sinful choices, He has never left my side. And while I know God hates divorce, Malachi 2:16, He loves me unconditionally. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." He has pursued me through every victory and defeat in my life. And time again, I've seen God take what Satan has meant for my destruction and use it for my good and His glory. Accepting Jesus Christ as Savior all those many years ago did not mean I wouldn't continue to sin or suffer difficulties or make bad decisions. It just meant I could accept God's unconditional love and forgiveness, and I still do every single day. My salvation is not dependent upon my performance or behavior. Praise God. That's in all caps, by the way. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us that it is for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And there is so much freedom in knowing that I do not have to be good enough to get to heaven or to have a relationship with God. And according to Romans 8:38 through 39, as His child, there is nothing, not even divorce, that can separate me from His love. Thank you for letting me share.